Then tonight in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, and we thank you that we can come into thy presence, you're guided by thy Spirit, knowing that thy word is true, and the inspiration of thy Spirit makes known to thy household the conditions and circumstances which are transpiring in their environment. Thankful, our Father, we can find our relationship to thy pattern of time. We can place ourselves in the positions of thy prophecy. We're thankful that we can acknowledge that thou who art our God, thou hast established thy kingdom and ordained thy children to inherit it, participate in the battles against the powers of darkness, to be victorious even in the climactic struggle which is yet ahead of Armageddon, to welcome thy return and to be a part of thy glorious kingdom. These things are still some of them to be fulfilled, but we are waiting for these things with expectation. We look for thy appearing as we shall receive it with great joy. We acknowledge also, our Father, that thou who hast established forever the purposes which you have prophesied to, have ordained, and has declared that thy power shall descend upon thy household, upon thy kingdom, to bring these things to fruition. And seeing that we are in the high time of the great deliverance of the day of God Almighty, we acknowledge that we are standing in the latter days and look for thy appearance. So we invoke the unction of thy Holy Spirit to rest upon our meditation, and then we ask it. Amen. Tonight, as we speak to you on the subject of the Great Tribulation, we'd like to point out to you a lot of things which are most significant about this Great Tribulation, and also some fallacies that occur concerning the declaration of such a period of time. The first and only a declaration to come during the ministry of Christ concerning the Great Tribulation emerges out of the book of Matthew. It tells us that false prophets were going to start arising on the face of the earth. And we would hear of wars and rumors of wars, but the end was not yet. Nation would rise against kingdom, kingdom against kingdom, and there would be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in many places. All these things are transpiring, and we're well aware that we've had in the last 80 years a tremendous acceleration of earthquakes around the world. Until we've come to the last 2 years where virtually every month brings us an earthquake in some part of the earth. We've also had the great earthquakes of the last week, in which again we see the earthquakes moving through Albania and into Yugoslavia. Great earthquakes have hit in Turkey. They've hit in South America. They have spread out to the areas of Alaska, and we've had the terrific earthquakes there. We've had earthquakes, of course, that affected some pattern of the latter days, as we had the great earthquake in San Francisco in 1906. We've had earthquakes since that time in 1932 and so forth here. But the pattern is that the end was not exactly as yet. So we're told that that we would find false prophets would arise and many would be deceived. There's no question about the fact that inside the church itself we've had the great apostasy which has been taking place. And of course we can well identify the clerics and the scoffers of this apostasy as being predicted by Christ as the very administrating sons and daughters of Lucifer who are seeking to destroy his church. And many false prophets would arise. Now, it says therefore that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We have watched over the last 25 years, and the gospel of the kingdom has picked up with leaps and bounds. And today the gospel of the kingdom is being declared in all of the world. Not only do we have, especially out of Britain and out of the United States, those that have been declaring the gospel of the kingdom, but we have watched the picking up of the gospel of the kingdom and its spread. So we're told we're not going to get over all the cities of Israel before the end of the age comes. Still, we've had great and remarkable realization of the spread of the gospel of the kingdom. There's been no question about the fact that radio has contributed in no uncertain manner as they have broadcasted the message of the gospel of the kingdom out over the air. Many have heard it because of this. We've had the electronic processing and recording of tape, and there's no question about the fact that the tape messages going out to the nations of the world and being duplicated and spread has been one of the greatest factors in spreading the gospel of the kingdom in our time. Because we now know that we are covering virtually every continent on the face of the earth where white men live. We are moving into their communities and their cities And there's no question about the fact that the gospel of the kingdom is now being preached all over the world. And the tapes are being copied and repeated, and people come to hear them. And these are the situations that we see. And of course, there is not just one alone. There are many avenues of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. There's no question about the fact that the gospel of the kingdom has been preached to some extent, always known about in the United States. In fact, way back when our founding fathers were setting up the status of this nation, George Washington knew the gospel of the kingdom. And so also did John Adams know the gospel of the kingdom. And they knew that the United States of America was a great nation of Israel. And they claimed the promises, and they claimed all the things that were prophesied unto this nation. We have had from that time all the way down through the history of our nation those that understood and declared the gospel of the kingdom. So now as we turn to this climactic hour, still we find God saying, "And therefore when ye shall see the abomination of the desolator, spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." Now, of course, we can well see that this situation has occurred in our time. In fact, when the Jews, with their abortive attack upon the Arab states, made their great six-day victory, which you heard about, and six is a good number for them because it's the number of the beast and the number of mankind without spirit. And so we find that 666 is only the trilogy, but the number six is well marked for the days of that conquest. When Israel I, under Moshe Dayan, attacked the Arab aircraft on the grounds, and when they moved their great fleets of tanks into Jordan and of course into the desert that ran up to the Suez Canal, the Sinai Desert, why, these were some of the situations that will mark the time of a climactic end, because as they took the city of Jerusalem, they stormed it with tanks, they killed 15,000 civilian people alone in the city of Jerusalem that were shopkeepers and men and women, and as they took the city of Jerusalem, why, the Jordanian troops that were coming in without any air power were virtually sacrificed in this struggle for the city of Jerusalem. And when they took the city, they came around the site of the old Mosque of Omar, which was built where once Solomon's temple stood, and they cheered and shouted, and they went to the Wailing Wall, where Herod's temple once stood, not the temple, however, of Solomon, and they screamed and shouted that they had obtained a great victory, but this was the abomination of the desolator coming into the holy place. The abomination of the desolator moved into the city of Palestine. The desolator in the latter days is he who is responsible for problems, troubles, and wars, and who by his chicanery works with a great beast system. The desolator are the enemies of God's kingdom. They are the children of Lucifer. They mark themselves as such, and they carry on a tremendous battle against the program of God's kingdom. The beast system is a system that the desolators establish, and the beast system today are all the countries on the face of the earth under the politics of communism. And so the political process of the beast is the socialization, the communization of society, and a program, rebel economic strategy against the nations of God's kingdom. At the same time, there has never been any possibility of any individual setting aside the actual abomination of the desolator, because they started out as Antichrist when they sought to destroy Jesus Christ. They sought to kill him at his birth. They sought also his destruction, and they plotted against him. And Jesus, when he saw them, said, "Ye are of your father the devil, the lusts of your father ye will do." Organized world Jewry and all that goes along with it sought the murder of Christ, with the king of the Jews trying to murder the infants in Bethlehem, and continued the battle against the entire ministry of Christ, seeking to take him, to destroy him, to stone him, to kill him. But only the miracle of divine power in the presence of the abiding consciousness of the Holy Spirit preserved the man Christ Jesus from their destruction until the time had come which he waited for, when he laid down his life, though he said, "I lay it down and I take it up again." The enemy thought they had accomplished all this by their chicanery and their cunning. The Jews are the children of Antichrist. Remember this. More also, we discover that in this declaration that John the Apostle declares and establishes quite clearly who the children of Antichrist are. He said that they deny that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. The same are Antichrist. There is no more complete denial of Christ by any group of people on the face of the earth than there is by the Jews. Last Friday night, as we were going home from our meeting here, we had to turn on the radio, and there, of course, was Ira Blue from San Francisco with his talk show on the radio. And somebody brought up some question about Christianity, and he says, "Now I'd like to talk about that. I'd like to talk about Jesus." And so they fired some questions in. And they said, "Now you made a statement out of Brewer that you believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in Jesus Christ." He said, "I certainly do. I believe that Jesus was a Jew. I believe he was a great teacher. I believe he was a great rabbi. But I will never say Jesus Christ." He says, "Because Christ means that he's the Messiah. Though he's, and I don't believe he was the Messiah, and I'll never call him a Messiah. And more than that," he said, "I don't think there's going to be a Messiah anyhow, and he belongs to the more liberal Jews who do not believe that even a Messiah is going to come," he said. Well, the fact remains that he said, "Now, you can say what you want to. I will never call him Jesus Christ. I'll never call him Jesus Christ." And he started to shout. Well, and so someone called up and they said, "Well, just what do you mean that you'll call him Jesus and you won't call him Christ? Because he's God and body in the flesh." And Arabu hung up, say, on the phone. So he called for another question, came in over the phone. And as it came into his station, why, this person said, "Well, now, what's wrong with calling him Jesus Christ? This is a Christian nation, and he's Jesus Christ." And Arabu hung up again on him. And so for the next 20 minutes, he couldn't stand the fact that Jesus was the Christ. And they were calling him the Christ. And they said he was God embodying the earth. And they said the Holy Scriptures proved it and so forth. And so everybody was coming in to give Arabu a bad time. And this Jew couldn't open his mouth without saying, well, we don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's not the Christ. He says Christ is a title given to him. Christ means the embodiment of God. We don't believe that. Well, people started to say, "Well, we do believe it. We believe it," say. And the Jew just was beside himself. He just couldn't answer the phone fast enough and hang it up fast enough because the people wouldn't lay off on this great truth. Well, the Jews are anti-Christ. They're against the concept of Christ, the embodiment of God, and the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. And so we are told, therefore, that in the abomination of the desolator, which Daniel the prophet said would stand up in the holy place, actually took place then during this year when the hordes and the factors of invasion came in climactically to seize Palestine. It was the abomination of the desolator because they actually took over the site where the holy place was, where at one time the Temple of Solomon had been in existence. Now, the fact remains, however, that this would not be any longer a holy place as far as the children of Israel are concerned, because God had strictly fulfilled his covenant that he'd made with Daniel when he said that, "I'm going to move the people out of this place into a new place. I'm going to place them in a land where they're not going to be driven out anymore. I'm going to replant my people Israel," is what God told David. And David was standing in Jerusalem, and he was standing where the holy place was going to even be more personified, a holy place, by the building of the Temple of Solomon. And so we are to well discover today that there's mighty few of the house of Israel who are living in the ancient site where the temple existed at one time, or where God had originally given his covenant to the children of Abraham. They have moved out into Western Europe, and they came out from under their captivities, and they have settled everywhere from Scythia, which was basically the land of Greece, to Scandinavia in the north, where in Norway and Sweden we find portions of the house of Israel. They have moved to the west as far as the Atlantic Ocean and the Isles of Britain and up and down the coast of Europe, and then they took that great leap when God said he would take them across the great waters, plant them in this great land, a land that he'd prepared for their development from the beginning of time. In fact, it's the land of the redwood tree, the land of the myrtlewood tree, the land of the great cedars of Lebanon. There's no place on the face of the earth that has the myrtlewood, that has the great Gargantua redwood trees, and has the great land that was so covered by cedars and so covered by pines and the box tree that God had planted and prepared for his people, a people who would elect their governors out of themselves, a people who would elect their judges out of themselves, would set up their days of thanksgiving. This is one of the great final resting places of the house of Israel. It's a land that they will not be moved out of ever again, and a land that God will set up and establish the magnitude of his kingdom within. However, the fact remains that as we turn to the scriptures, whenever you see the abomination of the desolator move into the holy place, the abomination of the desolator moved in with an assassination type of gunfire, moved in against even civilians that were not lifting up their fingers to fight, moved in and took over the ancient city of Jerusalem this year. Now, this is the movement of the abomination of the desolator. Now, we can turn here and we read these facts. except these days should be shortened, because we're going to see that this is a very vital and desperate period of time. We're also going to see that it's a climactic situation in great tribulation. But the scripture said there shall be great tribulation, such as there was not since the beginning of the world to this time on, nor ever shall be. Except these days should be shortened, there should no flesh be left on earth. For the elect's sake, for Israel's sake, for my people who I elected before the foundation of the world, I'm going to even shorten the time and for their sake. And I'm going to provide for the salvation of my household, and I'm going to do this before the whole areas of the world are wiped out. Now, of course, you may say we don't see any possibility of this situation, but you came into the atomic age, and when you came into the atomic age, you provided a whole vast area of annihilation of mass, of people in mass. After all, in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, as the bombs, the atom bombs fell, the cities were virtually devastated, and of course thousands upon thousands were killed, and these were bombs without too many megatons. Now you have the tremendous megaton hydrogen bombs, and you have added to it the power of cobalt blue, which is involved in it. And if you have an atomic war today, you're going to discover that many, many people are not only going to be wiped out, but you're going to find that the fallout will be quite a factor along with it. And so we are to discover that as we have moved into this atomic age, and we're told in the book of Joel that there is deliverance for everyone whose name was written in the book, and all the people written in the book can look unto Yahweh for that deliverance. And it's in the day of the atom bomb, the pillars of smoke, the umbrellas of fire. And we are also, as we turn to the writings of Peter, we have arrived at a climactic period where God says that the very elements now are dissolving in fervent heat, and the fashion of the world order is going to be swept away. And so there are many people that look out at this situation, and they say that there is no, that where is the promise of his coming? And this is, of course, the thing that they would like to utilize in their condemnation of Christianity. And so these beggars always are saying, where is the promise of his coming? And all things continue as it has been since the beginning. I was thinking as I was listening to the Abominable Pine show for a few minutes last night. And he had a minister on there, or some prophet, that said that he felt that we were only a few months from the return of Christ. And he felt that the time was up, and they wanted to know what made him think so. Well, he said, so many events have been fulfilled, and prophecies have been fulfilled, and we're about due to see Christ return for the liberation of his people and all of these situations. And so Joe Pine asked him why he thought this. Well, he thought that he saw the evidences of great tribulation. And so then he asked the man what they were, and he told him many of the things that have transpired since about 1906 and 7, and the things that have transpired since World War I, and the expansion of problems and troubles. And he says, we have come through great tribulation. And so then somebody got up in the dock, and he looked like some simple Bible student that thought he knew the whole course of time. And he says, just a moment, he says, now, how could the troubles and the tribulations have started back at the time of World War I? Because in 7 years, the tribulation would be all over, and the church would have been translated. The church hasn't been translated yet. And he says, we're waiting for the rapture of the church. Now, therefore, since we're waiting for the rapture of the church, the tribulation hasn't started yet. The tribulation starts at the rapture of the church. And he says, then he says, you haven't explained the fact that the Antichrist is supposed to take over. He's supposed to rule for 3.5 years. And he says, this hasn't happened yet, and so forth. And so this could never have started in World War I. The tribulation might be starting now, but it still, he says, it should be marked first by the translation of the church, and we haven't gone anywhere. So then Joe Pine comes back out, not that he believed this. He says, well, he said, there's nothing to this at all. I can establish there's nothing to it. He says, because, he says, you've been showing things that have happened from way back in World War I right on up to now. And he says, there's many, many times 7 years here, and there's no spot where you can put the tribulation, because if the tribulation was 7 years, why, he says, there's no place for it. Well, the man said, I didn't say anything about 7 years. And so Joe Pine was haughtily mocking him concerning the fact that, with all this picture, God delays his coming, and there's possibility that he's not ever going to come, and so forth. So this is what the scripture said. It said that during this period of time, therefore, that there would rise these scoffers and these people who would speak out against the return of Christ. And in this they would say, now where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they have been from the beginning. But let me point this out to you, that in the book of Matthew, the scripture makes the statement concerning the great tribulation, though it doesn't cite great tribulations, but it does say that there shall be great tribulations such as there has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall there ever be again. Except these days should be shortened, there should be no flesh left on earth. In fact, by the utilization of laser beams and by the creation now of superatomic bombs and guided missiles and by the weapons that are now being carried around the world on satellites, the destruction of cities below are going to be one of the greatest patterns of destruction that the world has ever known. And so we are to see that there is power now to destroy whole cities, to wipe out whole portions of nations. Though as far as your nation is concerned, and as far as they're wiping out your nation, I don't believe that there's power enough in the Soviet Union and all the red world to wreak havoc upon the United States of America. You say, why is that? Well, the reason for it is that the Most High has ordained that his people will survive. He has ordained that in this great and corrective battle that communism wants to bring against you, that the powers will not be able to accomplish it because there's no weapon on the face of the earth that's formed against you that can prosper. So there's no procedure that communism can use to cause you to prosper over your nations and to take you into these situations. However, as far as the Great Tribulation is concerned, this is the one place where it is mentioned that tribulation, such as there has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. Now, there's only one other place that the tribulation is mentioned, and this is in the book of Revelation in the 7th chapter. And it talks about how God is sealing 12,000 of each tribe times thousands, and you have 144,000, which times thousands are sealed by the Most High God as his sons and his daughters living at this important period of time. And therefore we see the angels stand around the throne, and they heard the words of blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power be unto our God forever and ever. And the elders answered, and who are these that we see coming forth? And I heard the voice say, these are they which have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple, and they sitteth on the throne, and shall dwell among them, and shall dwell among them, and they shall neither hunger nor thirst any more, neither shall the light of the sun be necessary for them, and nor any of its heat be important. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and they shall come into the living fountains of water. Now, this is the only other place that the Great Tribulation is mentioned as such by name. One, that God speaks about the abomination of the desolators and the fact that we're in Great Tribulation. Now, this doesn't start Great Tribulation, but we're in Great Tribulation. And God therefore said that he will shorten the time for the elect's sake, or there'll be no flesh left upon the face of the earth. But when it talks about these martyrs are out of Israel. These martyrs have the testimony of Jesus Christ, and they are out of Israel, and they have been put to death, and they have died for their testimony, and they've died as martyrs, and they've refused to give up their faith, and they have been liquidated and put to death. And as they have been coming up out of the great tribulation, the angel said, who are these coming up out of the great tribulation? And the Lord said, they are the children of Israel. They are the martyrs for the truth, and these are they that I shall give to sit with me on my throne, and so forth. Now you say, well, what do you mean by this? In the first place, there's absolutely nothing in the scriptures that says 7 years is going to be the time of tribulation. Nothing. There isn't anything in the book of Daniel that says that the tribulation is going to last 7 years. There are prophecies in the book of Daniel that talk about the time of the end and the time of the end to be consummated. Talks about the 1,335 years of the Assyria calendar, which came to an end, and the city of Jerusalem was returned to the Anglo-Saxon peoples which ruled over that city until we've come to the abomination of the desolator moving in on that very city. And the abomination of the desolator came in this year. And so we can watch this quick victory, this astonishing pattern of satanic force as they moved in to the city of Jerusalem. This is the abomination of the desolator that stands in the holy place. We're not telling you that there are not measures given for certain things, but these measures are not related to what you call great tribulation, which has descended on the face of the earth. Let me point out to you that we are in a time of Jacob's trouble. There's no question about this, and in the book of Jeremiah, it says, for the day is great, and it's tremendous factors that are at work. The day is great, and there is none like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. And it shall come to pass, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break the yoke from off of his neck, and I will burst the bonds of the strangers, that they shall no more serve themselves of him. Now, there's not only is it the strangers and the Enosh, which means the beasts of the field as well, but they're no longer are they going to serve themselves of you. It does also point out, however, that the powers of darkness, the forces of evil, the children of Babylon, will have an economic stranglehold on the nations of God's kingdom. I think you can see this also maturing now, because while it has been going on for the last 100 years or more, it has been picking up its weight and its pressure until they can cut off your gold, they can throw you into depressions, they can step up and release the gold and silver for your prosperity, but always when it works for them. Remember, the Jews gave you the depression, and the Federal Reserve fed the money that they bought up the stocks as your stocks started to collapse, and they lowered America into a great depression. But it wasn't yours only. It hit Britain. It hit every country in the Western world. It was called a worldwide depression. You said, what happened to the money? Why, there's no money. We can't loan money. We have no money. Everything is bad. But when they wanted to destroy Germany and Adolf Hitler, they suddenly loosed all of the credit to all the companies, and they expanded and they built when they wanted to produce the weapons, they said, of democracy. And it was well a democracy, because this is a great republic, and this procedure of building weapons was furthering the cause of the democracy. But most of that democracy is headed not here but in the Soviet Union. It's the operation of the masses. But they turned loose with all of their design, the currency, and where they didn't have any money, and companies had already passed into the hands of the administrators, and more of the stocks and bonds of your nation had moved under the economic pattern of Mystery Babylon the Great. And when they wanted a war, and they wanted to destroy a country that economically had set themselves free of this, they suddenly turned it loose, and you started to build factories, the depression was over, and you were beginning to become a very wealthy and powerful and affluent nation again. Of course, now the profit will not come by supplying you with money. It's now taking it all away and foreclosing on your homes and casting you into the trough of Great Depression. That's what they want to do now. And if you, the great Christian nation of America, take this from these children of the beast and don't fight back and don't deliver your nation out of their hands, then, my friends, you deserve what you get. Because we are, without question, being marked for economic capacities of destruction again. However, it's not going to come this way, because the Most High said all these situations are some of the situations that lead into the operation of Jacob's trouble. When we talk about the time of Jacob's trouble, we talk about the appearance of these people who come before the throne of the Most High God by the thousands as martyrs. Let's take a look then in these latter days, and within the period of the situations that start somewhere around 1905 and 6 and come up to now, because that's the great soft stone inside of at the head of the Grand Gallery in the Great Pyramid. It's the time when God has set the measures and scores up for things that would happen. You will find far more measures and far more scores in that building than almost any pattern of measure that you can take. Now, let me point out to you that the Soviet Revolution that was marked in red by organized Jewry, who were Jewish finance that had gathered and controlled the finance of the Christian world, were financing the operation, and with their sudden rise in anarchy, why, the Marxists, the Leninists turned loose all of their attacks, and of course they captured the Tsar, they took over the Soviet Union, and they started rounding up Christians. Everywhere, Christians would not be a part of communism, but Christians numbered the millions all throughout the areas of the Soviet Union. In fact, it had been a very a powerful state in its love of God and its love of Christ. Let no one tell you that the white Russian people and the people that made up the great structure of the Russians and backed the pattern of the Tsar, who was controlling a vast number of pagans that still lived in his land, but do not think for one moment that it was not a Christian country. They had icons, and they worshipped not only in their churches and their temples, but they had pictures of Christ on the wall, from the lowest peasant to the wealthiest person. They served and they worked under the pattern of a great nation under God. This was one of the things that they proclaimed constantly. And they gave total allegiance to the pattern of the Tsar, who was called the protector of Christ's church. This is one of the titles that belonged to the Tsar, the protector of Christ's church. And of course, not only did communism sweep in with their bloody revolution and exterminated the family of the Tsar and liquidated all of those that they could get their hands on that were connected with any loyalty to the Tsar, but they gave one of the first edicts where the Christians were to be gathered up, and as they were gathered up, they were given just one alternative. You may deny that you believe in Jesus the Christ, you may declare that you will become a communist and that you are against Christ, or you're going to be put to death. In fact, it was a long and constant pattern of destruction. Never had there been one quite as bloody. The communist leaders grabbed seminaries and they grabbed churches and they took the priests out and they took yokes of oxen and they fit two yokes of oxen and they placed one arm and one leg, tied the ropes to one yoke of oxen and one arm and one leg tied to another. And they give that priest his last chance to recant and to say, "I do not believe in Jesus Christ. I will become a good communist." And if he said no, they whipped the oxen and they tore him apart. They did this to thousands upon thousands inside the Soviet Union. The bloodiest, cruelest, most vicious program of Antichrist. But they didn't bother the Jews. The Jews were running it. The Jews were the officials. And as Captain Montgomery Schuyler of American Secret Service said, he says, "The filthiest Jews I have ever seen in my life are running this revolution. And their first program is to liquidate the Christian church because they know the Christians are stirred to be against this program of Antichrist." These are his own words. And he said that Christians everywhere in the church were excited that what had happened was that the power of Antichrist was sweeping out over the world. Now there's a lot of silly people in some of these Bible schools and a lot of silly people that are getting up and preaching, and they say, "Oh no, this could not be the tribulation that was starting. I want you to tell me what can be a more complete program of tribulation than when they attack the children of the kingdom, the children of the house of Israel, when they attack the peoples who have the testimony of Jesus Christ and keep the commandments of God. What is more complete than they're tearing them apart, than they're cooking them in great vats of hot oil, while they're standing up and machine gunning them down, of them inflicting tremendous wounds with sharp swords at their ankles and at their armpits until they can't move, and they lay there dying and screaming in agony and pain. What can be a more complete program of Antichrist than the mass murder of 7 million Christians that were put to death inside the Russians alone?" No wonder the story of Revelation says, the angel said, "Who are these? Well, they're coming up out of great tribulation. They're martyred. Yet they come with faces gleaming because they wouldn't give up their faith in Christ. They wouldn't give up their testimony in Jesus Christ. And as they spread out over the maps of Europe, they continue it. And it made no difference whether one was a priest or a minister. It made no difference whether he belonged to the Orthodox Church or whether he belongs to any of the Protestant assemblies or to the Catholic Church. They gathered them up. They liquidated them. They threw their prelates and they threw their bishops and they threw their ministers in jail and then liquidated them one after another as it has satisfied their force. Now today the actual murdered, martyred Christendom is over 17 million. Think this over now. Over 17 million people. And so as we see this, they had a propaganda picture they put on the other night on television. And they wanted to show, they said, these are unseen pictures that have never come out of the Soviet Union. And then they showed in the days of the revolution, and they showed the days of the revolution, people were starving to death, and they were hungry, and they were beaten down by the Tsar's troops and all this kind of thing. Every bit of it was a lying piece of propaganda put up by a bunch of red operators inside of our broadcasting systems, backed by Jewish money, as secret pictures to show how Russia needed the revolution. It didn't need the revolution. Christian people didn't need the revolution. The Jews needed the revolution to get a base for manpower attacks against white Christian civilization. It was the activity of Antichrist. And when you see Antichrist arise, and when you see it move out with power to liquidate Christians, then you know that you've reached the great pattern of tribulation. You say, "Well, we haven't suffered great tribulation." No, you really haven't suffered the elements of great tribulation, as have these people that have been on the outskirts of the realm of Christendom, and some of them, of course, even over the areas of Asia. You haven't seen tribulation because there has never been a land that has had as many Christians per capita in it as America has. America and Great Britain were basically great and powerful Christian nations, and that you are still the majority in the United States. But don't you think that these bloody Jews would liquidate every one of you if they had a chance? Now, when Jesus therefore warned concerning these situations. The one thing that the program of Antichrist is going to do, he's going to kill Christians if he can. He's going to gain power over them. He's going to bring the hordes of the world against Christian nations. He's going to gather the peoples of Africa and the peoples of Asia. Now, you can just take a look at what's transpired in your time. You've watched the United Nations, which is his false peace movement, and God said they'll cry peace, and they'll build up these institutions of peace to entrap my people, and they'll say peace when there isn't any peace. And God says, I'm going to have to destroy this because apparently my children are not very wise. They fall for it, and they're deceived by the super deceivers, and the program of the United Nations is to dissolve the United States, dissolve Great Britain, dissolve these Christian nations, divide their goods up with the pagans, stir the pagans to kill them, to disarm my people, and then stir up the pagans inside of your own nation to kill them. Let me tell you that you're in great tribulation, and before you've gone the next 6 months, you're going to understand a little bit more about this tribulation as the strangers, the beasts of the field, move against you in war, led by officers of the Soviet Union as they have race war breaking out with 2.5 million Negroes under arms attacking you. When I see these things coming to pass, this is a time of trouble, such as there has never been over the house of Jacob. And God warns that this is true, but he says concerning Jacob, give me your hand, Jacob. Give me your hand, because I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to deliver you. But he says again, thou art my battle axe, my weapons of war, and I'm going to stir you up, and I'm going to set my ministers to calling for my people to take to stand up upon their feet. And it's eventually the children of the kingdom, the nations of the kingdom, and the armies of God are going to destroy the powers of Antichrist. Now, when Jesus, therefore, talks about the great tribulation in Matthew, he tells you, therefore, that this is going to be a great time of trouble, of battle, and of war. But we have looked at the expansion of world communism, and it is the great tribulation. It is the work of Antichrist, the children of Antichrist, and they're designed to set all the nations of the world against the Western Europe and the United States of America, and against the Christian outposts of the world is ours. The fantastic murder-rooting operation of the Negroes in Africa, where they had civilizations and cultures built for them by the white man. The United Nations forces its pressure to drive the white man out of some of these areas, and then they turn with rapacious attack to kill, slaughter, and murder with all of their opportunity. They even murder one another when they run out of people to shoot at or kill in the viciousness of their strategy. Now, never has there been anything like the massacres and the attack against the white civilization, the white culture of Christianity, as there has been inside of Africa, as the communists have armed the Negro to stir him up. And they're arming the Negro right now from outside the United States to stir him up, to destroy, and to battle you. They are gathering the hordes of Asia, and we can well see the prophecies of the Scripture concerning these areas whence they're drawing their strength. They have isolated today 1/6 of the world's capacity of production, creative genius. They have taken 1/6 of the world's population, and they have turned all the pagan world against it. And this is what they are attempting to do. Powers of organized Jewry are biding their time. They're moving out of some of these nations to other spots as the choice leaders of Antichrist prepare for the destruction of your nation. The Great Tribulation is nothing more or less than the Antichrist planning on the final takeover and putting it into operation. The Great Tribulation is the day when martyrs are made. The Great Tribulation is the day when they bring economic catastrophe upon you. The Great Tribulation is the rise of the beast system to cover the earth. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to take your nation. Did you know that? The Great Tribulation is not going to swallow up the United States of America. In fact, though it battles for Western Europe, it's not even going to swallow up Western Europe, because the Scriptures say that in this day of Great Tribulation, that God is going to not only put his hand down and take the hand of Jacob, but it says it'll be a time of Jacob's trouble, and he shall be saved out of it. And God makes it quite clear that though they circle the earth with their satellites, and though they move against you with the powers that they have been corralling, and they have been making, and their intercontinental ballistic missiles, and their great aircraft, and their submarines as they bring their hordes against you, all they are going to do is bring them against the place of destruction. Now you can say, well, things don't look too good right now. No. They've gained control, as you have known, of labor, and they've organized labor, and they have labor under the hands of leadership of Jewry and those that represent them. and they've had them escalating the cost of the things they're producing so high that their money is running out, and they want to grab your gold and grab your silver and reduce you to a status of a World Bank and International Monetary Funds, and then just give you a kind of a dole and reduce all of the peoples of Christendom to the same status as the pagans exist throughout the nations of the world. Now, you haven't seen anything yet as to this design. You know, one of the things that's going to happen, and you're going to see some of the strongest economic problems of trouble that you've ever witnessed in your life. You're going to see where the prices don't go down and the money doesn't go around, and you're going to see idle millions suddenly dropped out of their production jobs because they're going to move the areas of industry to other countries, and they're going to continue their economic catastrophe against you and against Britain. And you know what's going to happen? How successful they're going to be. You may see 2 or 3 or 4 months of hard times, but I'm going to tell you that it tells me here that labor is going to rise, and it's going to call for the overthrow of Babylon, and it's going to call for the overthrow of its unionism. It's going to call for the overthrow that has made that has priced it out of its markets, and in 1 hour they're going to swallow up this whole business of the beast system, and the cry is going to be oi, 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 even unto the heavens. But God says we're going to see it wiped out and destroyed in my nation. My people are going to come out of Babylon. My people are going to give Babylon the hardest time it has ever had. Mystery Babylon the Great is also the resident of every foul devil and every evil spirit. So this means that all the Jews and all of the satanic and conspiratorial processes of infamy, of immorality, degeneration, and depravity that have turned themselves loose against the kingdom of God, they dwell in Babylon, but my people are coming out of her, and then down is going to go Mystery Babylon the Great. The Great Tribulation is not a time when we're going to see the defeat of the kingdom of God. It's the emerging of the kingdom of God with the leadership of Christ for the defeat of the enemy. Now, as far as people wanting to know about these days and measures of the book of Daniel, the days and the measures are effective in the book of Daniel from various points of operation. And of course, when Muhammad established the control of the peoples of Edom and Turkey and Idumea over the land of Palestine was when, of course, he came, and they already had Canaanites in it. It was already occupied by Jews, and they tried to trick Muhammad, and Muhammad therefore liquidated a lot of them, and he established the Hijriah calendar year one Muhammad, and there was nothing left of the Temple of Solomon. It had already been destroyed, and he built the Mosque of Omar on that point. Now, it was 1,335 years to the day from the time he established the Mosque of Omar and established year one Muhammad until the day in 1917 when the city of Jerusalem was delivered back to the Anglo-Saxon people. And so that was, blessed is the person that saw that time and that day. And as we have watched these fulfillments of prophecy, this persecution and mass murder, this economic conspiracy, this design of the beast system, this attempt to spread the concepts of idolatry and paganism over the earth, even in the name of the church, many of them should have been rabbis, but they became ministers to destroy the church. And they influenced those who had small minds to proclaim their doctrines of non-confession of the faith. Until today, organized Antichrist even stands inside of the pulpit and calls it a church, which it is not, and says we don't believe that Jesus is God come in the flesh, and we don't believe that he was the Messiah. We don't believe that he performed any of the miracles. When you see this, you can see that Antichrist is already here. Now, of course, the church stands by in Christian America, and it has not felt the brunt of this because it has been protected by God and protected by geological conditions, and we are separated from the continents in which the pagans have had the opportunity to attack or destroy, or where they live totally. But because of this, this is that portion of Israel that will survive, and eventually, of course, the entirety of the populations and the philosophy of the beast system is leveled against you. Someone says, how long is it going to last? I'm going to tell you that before the next year or two is over, you're going to see an all-out attack against you. Now, when they come to attack you, they come to destroy you, they come to wipe you out, they're not going to make the thing that they desire to accomplish, for God will utterly destroy them, and he promises you the fleets of heaven. He promises you the dynamic wisdom and the guidance and power. He promises you that 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. No harm will come nigh you. See? You know, people say, well, what about these people? We see some of our brave boys dying out in this war front. That's true. But I want to ask you something. Did you know is that of all the people that believed the gospel of the kingdom, is that as they sent their boys out into battle, as they've been drafted and taken into the last world war, and then also into this, that we practically have no record of those that have been raised in the gospel of the kingdom and have believed the word of God and been trusting in him. They've moved into battle with courage and they have come back out of it. Some of them have been wounded, but they've come back out of it. I do not know inside of the gospel of the kingdom as of this moment, I do not know of more than a half a dozen that have been injured, and I only know of one that has passed on inside of this great company of people breathing the gospel of the kingdom. And we have on tape those that says, pray for us and pray for our boys. They've been drafted. They're going into battle. And so a year goes by, and they say, keep praying for our boys. They'll come home. But they believe God, and the fact is that we haven't heard from any one of these people to say that their boys have even been injured. And this is just the beginning. Because there's one factor that God will honor the faith of individuals, and one of the situations that we're going to see is that in this honoring of faith and this mighty power of the Most High, that a thousand shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. The only one condition, and this was a man by the name of Blessing, who is a partially part-time senior minister anyhow, in Denver, Colorado, whose boy was killed in the battle. But this is one of the only conditions that we knew of that. As this has happened, there will be more martyrs, there's no question about this, because we can see the conspiratorial hand of the enemy liquidating people. We have found mighty and forceful Christians that are battling the enemy and are putting their finger on some of the enemy's machinations. Just last week, a very intelligent and brave woman, and one who is on the Tate ministry, was murdered, shot in the heart by mafia. Okay, so we don't see, it does happen. And we do have some that are martyred in this cause as they fight the power of organized jewry. But what we are now facing is that the Great Tribulation is not something that's coming. People don't have to get out there and start to figure up all the datelines they think they can find to see when the Great Tribulation starts. The man on television talking to Joe Pine may not be right when he thinks Christ is coming in a few months, but he's absolutely right. We are in Great Tribulation. I do not know how much more than you could have of tribulation. If they can tie up your economy, if they can raise the prices of your goods, if they can cut off the free flow of money, and if they can do everything that is wrong, and from the patterns of the charges of usury to the confiscation of widows' homes and property, if they can do all these things, this is economic tribulation. If they can move out to integrate your race and destroy your pattern of the covenants of God, and they can say that your children must go to school with these Negroes, and you must be permitting the marriage of Negroes and whites, you must do everything that God has said, I count for a judgment and a curse, and if they're going to put upon you the thing which God says is the most evil of all things, the integration of these races, then I'm telling you that when your government starts to force legislation and to pass legislation that is in jeopardy against every pattern of the Bill of Rights and every pattern you have, and basically when they move against your faith and the faith of the majority of people in the United States, you have reason to think you're in tribulation. Now, there are those who say, oh, if we can just get out of the Great Tribulation. Well, I don't see anybody recruiting on one side for people that want to go to heaven tonight. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, most of you have such a desire to live, and most of you have God has placed a desire to live in your heart. And so you want to stay here, and you want to fight this thing, and you want to win. I don't know how many people want to run. I haven't found too many in the gospel of the kingdom that want to run. I know there's a lot of people in some of the holiness movements that are saying, God, take me out of here, take me out of here. In fact, I want you to know that they've been crying, take me out of here for years. I can remember back in 1932 and 1933, when there were those that were speaking in tongues concerning the return of Christ, and Christ was supposed to come in 1936. And they had prophecies and they had interpretations, and none of these prophecies, none of these interpretations were from the Spirit of God, because the answer was never right. And so as these people were moved with their tongues and interpretations, and they told about the terrible things that were happening, and in 1936 they thought it was terrible, and they said the rise of Mussolini was going to be the Antichrist, and then they went on a little farther, and other holiness movements were saying, yes, no question about Mussolini, he's going to be the Antichrist, and he's going to rise up, we're going into tribulation, they said many days. And Mussolini lived and died, and the tribulation they were looking forward to did not happen, even though the tribulation was on with the mass murder of Christians, and they weren't worried, apparently, about what was going on in the Soviet Union. And they were not disturbed, and they couldn't see the pattern of the encroachment that was going to take all of one half of Europe behind the Iron Curtain into its hands. But I want to point out to you that as these people were getting their messages from God, it didn't happen. And I listened as I heard messages. I heard them interpreted. I was curious about this. And they said, "Hear my people." It says, hear ye, behold, I am coming very, very soon. I'm coming before this year is out. I'm coming in the next year or two, or I'm coming, and I'm going to bring victory to you when this man is the Antichrist takes over. Then I heard again. I heard all kinds of people receiving and talking in tongues and hearing interpretations, and God said, "I'm just about to translate the church, and I'm going to translate the church before the tribulation comes." And they were lifting up their voices, and they said, my, it's a great thing. We're going to see the church translated. And I look now. Now we're in 1967, almost 1968. And in 34 years have passed, and nothing happened in 5 years, nothing happened in 6 years, and almost all their candidates for the Antichrist are dead when they finally got around to Stalin, and he's dead. And so you see that these areas of prophecy and these patterns of interpretation that have moved out of these areas, it may have been that they did it with a process of goodwill. And in the emotionalism with which they had been guided to move, they said this is a wonderful thing, and the prophecies were not of God, and the interpretation was not of God. It came out of their desire to discover the great avenues of wisdom and truth, but they were not proceeding the right way. I'm still going to tell you that Christ has told those that are his disciples, and these that make up his household, follow me. And therefore, if one can follow Christ and can be guided by the Spirit of the Most High, he can count himself a very fortunate person. And when he told his disciples to carry him till they be endued with power from on high, they waited in the city of Jerusalem till they were endued with power from on high, and they went out and they started the great, fascinating and fast-growing institution of the Christian Church. And the Christian Church moved out in the white nations of the world to produce the greatest testimony that any religious system has ever produced on the face of the earth. But we are those that will go through and come out of tribulation victorious. A lot of people say, "Well, we're going to be translated." Well, if all the Christians on the face of the earth were translated up into the sky before the great tribulation came, then there have been millions upon millions, and far more than have ever been martyred, been put to death before the tribulation started. The tribulation would come kind of as an aftermath. Now the fact remains that if you would translate the Christians out of the world, there wouldn't be anybody with guts enough to fight the Antichrist. There wouldn't be anyone that would say, "We're going to carry out a battle against him, we're going to resist him." There wouldn't be anyone left that wouldn't acknowledge Jesus Christ today that will be acknowledging him when the Antichrist shows up. So the situation is that we are in tribulation. We've been in tribulation for 40 more or more years. We do not have a 3.5-year tribulation or a 7-year tribulation, or there isn't any week that was cut off at 69 weeks and then 1 week is shoved in way up at our time, because there's absolutely nothing in the Bible that talks about the week being cut off and put it on the end of an age. That's not a proper situation. It's a fictional situation. And the areas of prophecy will continue with their due measure. And so as we stand at this hour, we don't have to wait for an Antichrist to take over, and we don't have to wait for him to rule 3.5 years. All we need to do even now, and God said, "I'm going to shorten the time so the measure wouldn't make any difference anyhow." He says, "Because there's great tribulation and you're in great tribulation, if I don't shorten the time, there won't be any wreck left. The atomic bombs, the battles, the wars, the massive conspiracies, the Lazar rays, and the forces that they're hurried against my kingdom." He said, "If I don't shorten this time for the elect's sake, there won't be any of them left on earth." God talks about the mighty victory of the elect. He talks about the overthrow of the powers of darkness. Yes, there is no question about the fact that we are in the time of the end. We are in the great tribulation, and it will end with tremendous victory. But I want you to know that even at this hour, as we see these things coming to pass, that we are in the beginning of the day of the Lord. It'll be the hour of his victory, the hour of his heading the forces of his people. It'll be the challenging of the powers of darkness, and it will end the time of Jacob's trouble with the greatest victory of all time. And God says, "I'm going to take this stranger with his economy and his economic yoke off of your back. And I'm going to drive out the Enoch's ending, because they're not going to burn down your cities anymore, and they're not going to threaten you." So you see, they'll be burning our cities with their conspiracy as the thing ends, not begins. And so we are within the elements of all of these patterns of time measures. I want you to know that the world revolution of the beast system of the children of Antichrist, born by Jewry, have taken more Christian martyrs than have been taken in all the last 2,000 years. And as we see this situation, I want you to know that no Christian can be a communist. And if a man's a communist, he's not a Christian. I want you to know that there can be no peace between the church now and communism. Only the liquidation and destruction of communism can bring the fulfillment of Christian responsibility. And so as we see these situations move, we hear the church, the false prophets of theology, saying, well, yes, you can be a communist and be a Christian. We embrace communism merely as a political move to liberate the masses. Well, this is coming right out of the voice of the communist agents that stand in the pulpits of your time. We don't care whether the administration or any of the powers and forces that be in government want to join with the communists. The church will forever stand as a deadly opposition against it. You can see why communism says, oh, we want to liquidate the church, because the church will never put their hand in the hand of Satan to put over his political system and his economic system. And it's not going to ever do it in America either, and they better take short note of this, because the time and the end for the administrators of evil is about over. I think that you're going to see within the next few years, and possibly within the next few months, great and vital challenge from the real true Americans and Christians in this country against the powers of Antichrist that have managed to move into your society for its control. I think you're going to see, as God has declared, this great and tremendous day in which God says, I'll be rejoined with my people, and I'm going to present unto myself my people like a vast bride, because I'm married to Israel, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. And he says, in that hour, there's not going to be a spot, nor a mar, nor a wrinkle. I'll restore vitality and health to all of my people, because this is my ordinance. And so one of the strange situations about this is that as we come out of the great tribulation, as we emerge into the greatest, most victorious point in all human history, will be the hour when Christ returns to deliver his kingdom, and the administration shall fall into the hands of his sons and his daughters even forever. Yes, they may still threaten the martyrs with death. They may still threaten Christianity that they're going to destroy. But as you come to the end of great tribulation, there are the outskirts where this can be carried out, but they will never accomplish this in your nation and in your society. So this is one of the places where God talks about the great area of deliverance that I have planted my people in, where they shall be moved no more. As we speak to you next Friday night, we'll talk to you on the blueprint of world events as it relates to biblical prophecy, to the things that are transpiring for each week, shows us that we're in the pattern of the last day, and the significance of prophecy as it's fulfilled is tremendous. So come out as we speak each Friday night on next Sunday afternoon on the subject of reconciliation. Now, this is an important subject, for God talks about today when he's going to reconcile all things unto himself. I think that we're going to speak next Sunday evening on the judgment is come. Judgment is come. We see with your tithes and offerings, we hold up our hands in meeting the cost of the gospel of the kingdom as we send it out in our missionary endeavor to reach the children of God's kingdom everywhere. Remember again, your state ministry goes out to the ends of the earth. It goes out to the planets, or out to the continents of the earth, and it moves into your own nation, into the states, and into the courses of action. There is no area that the gospel of the kingdom is not being carried as you are making it possible through the state ministry. So we urge you that you help in this procedure, that you use your tithes and offerings to hold up this tremendous testimony which you are sending out to the nations of the world. We need the auditorium rent, these expenses, even as we go through these turbulent hours, and we realize that you're in tax time, and your taxes have to get in next Sunday, but the tapes have to go out too, and the gospel of the kingdom has to continue. And God has promised you that he will supply your needs, and he will restore to you 30, 60, and 100 fold. Some people say, how do you know? Well, you haven't tried him yet. You'll be surprised what God will do for you if you support the program of his kingdom. Almighty and eternal Father, invoke the unction of thy Holy Spirit as it rests at this time upon this congregation. Bless our Father this offering, and may it fulfill the obligation of carrying forward the gospel of thy kingdom and doing the work of thy church in thine name, we ask it.